they're just coasting along on 4CRB.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley with you for The Law and You. Legal talk back through until 10 o'clock this morning. And we're not talking about daylight saving time anymore, of course. That finished on late Saturday evening or early Sunday morning. So we're all back in sync across our listening audience. So welcome back to normal time to everyone. Great program last week. Thank you to all the people who called in and made for such an interesting program. Certainly many and varied calls, and that's always the way we like it. And most importantly, we were able to take all of those calls during the program, which was really good, because that means that not only could we help the people calling in, but quite often there are people listening who may have issues that are similar, but they just can't get to a telephone. So it's always good if you can get those calls into us as soon as you possibly can. And speaking of calls, 5520888 is the number. That number again, 5520888. For those south of the Tweed River, you need to put 07 in front of the number, but otherwise, from throughout Tweed Heads and into Queensland, 5520888. And we have someone who's very quick out of the blocks this morning. It's Una. Good morning, Una. How are you today?
Good, thank you, John.
How can we help?
I recently applied for letters of administration in regard to my brother's estate, who died intestate.
Mm-hmm.
How long after I am granted this letter of administration till I can actually settle the estate and pay out the proceeds to the known beneficiaries?
Right, okay. So whereabouts did he pass away? Was it in Queensland or New South Wales?
Queensland, yes.
Queensland, okay, right. Well, the period of time within which people should notify a claim is 6 months from date of death. So once 6 months has passed, if you've not received any notification of a claim, then you're entitled to distribute. People do have up until 9 months to actually commence proceedings. So so if you can start distributing after 6 months, as long as you have not received any notification. But if you want to be quite safe about it, sometimes people decide to wait the 9 months before they make any distribution, just to know that they're in the clear. But if you do start distributing and then you get notice of a claim, you of course must immediately cease making any further distributions until the claim is resolved. But you, as the administrator of the estate, are absolved for distributions made after the 6 months has expired, but before you receive any notification of a claim.
Okay. Can I actually, suppose there's a motor car, can I actually cancel the registration or sell the car and keep the proceeds where...
Well, it depends on what the terms of the will say. If the will says that...
Well, there is no will.
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course. So, yes, you can. So what you would do there is you would obviously just sell the vehicle. And there's certainly no problem at all in gathering in the assets. So you can sell up assets, convert them to cash in readiness for the distribution under the will. So that's certainly not a problem at all.
Sounds good. Is the letters of administration, is it in lieu of probate or do I still have to apply for
no,
probate?
No, no. Letters of administration are actually probate. So that's the equivalent of probate. So you have two types of letters of administration. You have letters of administration on intestacy where there was no will. So there, in that circumstance, the estate is distributed in accordance with the rules of intestacy. And then you have letters of administration with the will annexed where, for example, the executor has died and there is no one to take the role of executor. And therefore, someone who's interested in the estate may apply for what we refer to as letters of administration with the will annexed.
Right, okay.
All right, then.
In the advertisement in the Law Journal,
yes.
A lot of the advertisements read that distribution would be made in 6 weeks.
Yes, well, that's simply a reference to the requirements of the Trusts Act. But that doesn't absolve you from liability if you distribute before the 6 months expires.
Okay.
So normally what would happen is that advertisement of the distribution is going to happen in 6 weeks would occur just shortly prior to the expiration of the 6 months. But a lot of people do combine the notice of probate or the notice of for letters of administration and the Trust Act notification in the one notice. So that's not uncommon for that to happen.
Okay, that answers everything very nicely.
Okay,
thank
all
you
the very best,
much.
Una. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Una, I'm sorry, not Una, Una. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to, where are we, 23 minutes to 10. As we say, a very good morning to Suzanne. Good morning, Suzanne. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, John.
How can I help?
My husband's in a nursing home.
Right.
And I'm living in our home now, mm-hmm. and I'm finding it a little bit hard on mm-hmm. the upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I sell our home? And we're joint tenants mm-hmm. of the house. And if I sell, what titles would I have to put in place to buy a new house? A smaller place to downsize in.
Right, okay. So does your husband still have capacity?
No, he doesn't.
He's lost capacity. Do you have
yes.
power of attorney for him?
Yes, I've got the EPOA.
Okay,
yes.
And does the power of attorney permit what is referred to as conflict transactions? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I'd have to go and have a look through
all
it.
Right.
It just says financial and health
yes.
matters.
Yes, okay. Was it drawn by a lawyer or was it drawn...
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's all done
okay.
through the lawyer.
All right. Well, look, so the short answer to your question is there's certainly no problem at all in selling.
Mm-hmm.
So you can certainly do that. And you can equally then proceed to purchase a new place as well
yes.
in joint names.
Yes.
Or you could use your half of the money to buy a property just in your name solely. But if the power of attorney permits conflict transactions, then you could use both the your share of the funds and your husband's share of the funds to buy a property as well. So you need to... really need to have the power of attorney check to see what's permitted under that as to what you can do. But certainly if you just wanted to sell and buy mm-hmm. another property and you were happy to put it in the joint names of yourself and your husband... again, as joint tenants, that wouldn't be a problem.
So I can do all that without him having to sign or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, you'd have to get the power of attorney registered to enter into land transactions. No problem signing a contract to sell your existing home, but
mm-hmm.
when it comes to signing the transfer, to transfer the registration of that property from yourself and your husband to the buyer, the power of attorney would need to be registered.
Oh, right.
All
right. I've got to read through to see if there's any conflict.
Whether it permits conflict transactions. Even if it doesn't, it certainly won't stop you from selling and buying
yes.
another property if it's a standard enduring power of attorney,
yes.
As long as you're buying it in both names again.
Both names.
Hmm.
Okay. Thank you, John. Thank
okay.
you very much.
All the very
okay,
best,
thank
Suzanne.
You. Thank
and
you.
The time just continues to march along right here on 4CRB. It's just coming up to 20 minutes to 10. As we say, a very good morning to Jim. G'day, Jim. How are you? Hello, Jim. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, hello. I'm here.
How can we help you today?
I've got a bit of a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
I live out on South Stradbroke Island.
Mm-hmm.
At Curran Cove,
mm-hmm.
We used to have a mail sent to their box, and then they changed it. They opened an office up on Hope Harbour,
mm-hmm.
and we have sent there.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to charge us $125 to have our mail and use their address.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
who's this Curran Cove want to charge you?
Curran Cove.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. $125. Now,
mm-hmm.
I could get a box down at Runaway Bay
mm-hmm.
for $50.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, I don't go down there that often.
Mm-hmm.
I most probably be 2 to 4 weeks before I would get to a box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm under treatment with a hospital.
Mm.
I rely on my mail for them sending letters out with the point.
Yep.
I can't, personally, I think they should be providing a mail service here as as a part of a service, not charging people.
So I'm not familiar with what the title arrangements are at Coran Cove, so I really don't know. Is it is that Crown leasehold property over there?
I think it is, yes.
Yep, so you have a lease or are you renting?
I rent.
Okay, so you're renting a property there. So have you spoken to Australia Post at all?
I've spoken to them. Nothing. They
don't have a mail service that goes to...
No, yeah. They don't have a mail service that comes
right,
here.
Okay, so it sounds to me like Coran Cove management might be getting a little sick of dealing with everyone's mail. I mean, obviously there is some administrative cost to them in doing that. And there's also potential liability issues too if mail gets lost and things of that nature. So I can understand that they probably have some reluctance in dealing with it. The Coran Cove's office is where at Hope Island?
They have an office at Hope Island.
So you would be able to get there to get your mail?
Well, the mail can come over on... If the mail goes there, it should come over on the ferry.
Right, okay.
And then it should go to the administration here.
So is that is that what they're still proposing to do, but they now want to charge you
$125.
Right, okay. Well, look, I mean, they're not a mail service, Jim, so it's really a private matter. I mean, they don't really have, as far as I'm aware, unless there's something in the bylaws that they have an obligation to deliver mail, there's probably no obligation for them to do that. And so I suppose it simply comes down to whether you want to pay $125 for the convenience of being able to pick your mail up from the office, or whether you you revert to getting a post box at Runaway Bay if that's your closest post office, and going over there every so often and picking your mail up. But unless there's something in the bylaws for Coran Cove for that development which stipulates that they will provide a postal service or something of that nature, there may be little that you can do, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
All right then.
Well, you know, other places, you know, hotels and things, it's a service they provide. You have to think ahead and that's it.
Yeah, I know, but you're paying a fairly solid... if you're staying in a hotel, you're paying a fairly solid room rental per night, and so they probably and they would have very little mail being dealt with. Your situation's a little bit different because you're a permanent resident, and so therefore you have a fairly regular mail arrival. As I say, the only thing I could suggest you do would be to check the if there are bylaws for the development as to whether there was anything in there about providing a mail service. All right, then.
And who would you contact for that?
Well, you'd probably need to go into the office, their administration office, and ask them if you could have a look at the bylaws that apply to the development.
Yeah.
But they're private bylaws, bear in mind. It's not a state registration, or they may be registered, but they're not enforceable by the state.
Yeah.
The only other thing I could suggest you could possibly do would be to ring the Body Corporate Commissioner's office and see whether they were able to provide any assistance. Have you got a pen handy?
Yeah.
Okay, so their number is 1-800.
1-800.
060.
060 119.
Yeah, so give them a call and they may be able to help.
Yeah,
all right then.
Okay.
Jim.
Okay.
All the best.
Okay.
Bye now.
Right. Thank you.
And the time continues to march along. It's just coming up to 14 minutes to 10. As we say, a very good morning to Caroline. Good morning, Caroline. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a little... I have a question to ask you. I don't know if you're going to be able to help me or not.
Do my best.
An Australian born in Australia who makes a will in Australia and then goes overseas, has dual nationality, by the way, goes overseas to Vanuatu, has property in Vanuatu.
Mm-hmm.
Does the will other person has made in Australia, is it predominant over any rules or laws that are in Vanuatu or any other country for that matter?
Look, normally with wills, whether you make a will in Australia or you make a will in Britain or make a will in any other country, normally it will be enforceable in another country where you are living. It is subject to the vagaries of that country. So I do know that there are a number of lawyers practicing in Vanuatu who are formerly Australian lawyers. And so it might be worthwhile making some inquiry with a lawyer in Vanuatu in relation to it. But I have a recollection of dealing with some matters in relation to Vanuatu relating to deceased estates, and that that a will made in Australia was recognised in Vanuatu as a valid will, but that was some time ago, Carolyn, so I certainly wouldn't like you to rely upon that as advice. And what I would ask you to do is...
they're independent.
Yes, is to probably make an inquiry with a lawyer in Vanuatu, or alternatively, Dr. Google is often very good for these sorts of inquiries, so you could Google whether a will made in Australia is valid in Vanuatu and or what the requirements are in that jurisdiction.
Okay, because I had asked your office, but I was told that I had to go in.
Right, okay.
All right, to see you.
Right, well, there
okay
you go.
Then. Thank you very much.
Okay then, all the very best.
Bye.
Bye now. And the time is just coming up to 11 and a half minutes to 10. The Law and You is the program, 5520888, the phone number. We presently have no calls online, so if you have a question or a query and you'd like to get through straight away, give us a call, 5520888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
If it's time to move into aged care, finding the right place for you at the start is vital. Kirsty from All Steps Aged Care has been through each of the 67 facilities and can help recommend the most suitable options for you. Save your family time and get the right advice now. Call Kirsty, a sponsor of the station, on 0423 871 688.
Are you serious about losing weight? VitaDiet has been helping Australians lose weight and live healthier since 1987. All VitaDiet shakes, soups, bars and desserts are gluten-free, made in Australia and have been perfected over 30 years. There's a VitaDiet eating plan, and yes, you do eat real food. Plus, use the VitaDiet ketone sticks to gauge your fat-burning performance. To find out how you could lose up to 3 kilos in your first week, visit VitaDiet.com.au for your local pharmacy or call 1-300-SHAKES. VitaDiet. Time to try it.
Another sponsor.
And the time on 4CRB is just coming up, or just past 10 and a half minutes to 10. The Law and You is the program, 5520888, the number if you have a question or a query. And we say a very good morning to Lynn. G'day, Lynn. How are you? Hello, Lynn.
Okay, thank you.
How can we help?
I was wondering what the lawyers charge when somebody dies. What are the charges involved?
Right, okay. Well, it depends on the circumstances. So the first thing would be whether you need to get probate of the will or not, depending on what assets the person has. And it would also depend on whether, for example, it was the first of a couple. So say a husband and wife, and one of them passes away and all of their assets are held as joint tenants, then obviously the processing of that sort of an estate to get the assets across from joint names to one name is a more simple process than where you need to apply for probate of the will, because the person has shares in public companies owns other assets where probate is required. So in that first instance that I was mentioning, where probate were not required, and if, for example, you're just looking at transferring over a property from joint names to the name of the survivor and doing the same with a couple of bank accounts, you'd probably be looking at around about $1,000 to do that. If you if you need to get probate of the will and you need to deal with assets in publicly listed companies and getting back the bond for a nursing home because the nursing home has required probate of the will, in yeah. that sort of a situation, you could be looking at $5,000 upwards, depending on the mm-hmm. amount of work that's involved.
Yeah. Would now, I'm a pensioner, mm-hmm. and I was just wondering... it's, my husband has passed and that's all done.
Right.
But I'm just wondering what happens when I go.
Well, it'll, where do you live? Do you live in Queensland or New South Wales?
New South Wales.
Okay, well, and do you own a home?
Yes, I do own a home.
Okay, because in New South Wales you've got to get probate of the will, unfortunately, to before you can right. transmit the property.
All right. And now, would you be better... I had a couple of bank accounts. Would it be better to put that all into one bank account?
Well, if you don't need the additional accounts, then it doesn't hurt to put them into one account. Obviously, each bank account needs to be dealt with. Whether you, if you own a property in New South Wales, then probate's going to have to be obtained anyway. But otherwise, the rule of thumb in use for banks generally is if there is more than about $50,000 in a bank account, then probate will be required. But in your case, it will be. If you amalgamate your banking into one account, obviously that means then whoever's dealing with your estate only has to deal with one bank rather than dealing with perhaps multiple banks. If they're all accounts in the same bank, for example, in the CBA or something, well, it doesn't really make a huge amount of difference whether it's one account or three accounts. But if it was accounts in different banks, then it would make a little bit of difference.
Yeah. Well, I thought of that. So I thought that I might be better to put it all into the one. Because at the moment it is in different banks.
Yes, okay. Well, in those circumstances, yes, I'd be inclined to agree with that, Lynn.
Okay, then. And probate, what's that? Oh, sorry, I'm really ignorant on
Well,
that.
Probate is simply the proving of the will. So it's a process that is gone through the court to determine that the will that is being held up to say this is my last will or this is the last will of the deceased is in fact the last will. So it's advertised and people can say, oh, hang on a minute, no, we made a will for so-and-so 2 years after that will was made so that you can make sure the process is right. Okay?
Yeah, so you might be better to make a fresh will.
Making a fresh will doesn't really matter. Probate will still be required if you're in New South Wales and you own property.
All right. Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, Lynn, all the very best. And the time is just coming up to 5.5 minutes to 10 as we say good morning to Peter. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Hello.
How can we help?
How are you, John?
Very well.
Look, I live in a complex on the Gold Coast.
Yes.
I've had an ongoing problem with a leaking balcony, which has been going on for quite some time.
Mm.
I notified the body corporate about the leaking balcony probably 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has transpired in that time. Mm-hmm. The recent weather conditions have exacerbated the problem. The body corporate inspected it and it was deemed to be a major problem with water leaking through the balcony. They mm-hmm. have responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be dragging their feet on doing anything about it at all.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, you know, if this continues, what steps that I can take to ensure that they address the problem as
right.
a matter of urgency?
What I would suggest you do, Peter, is probably give the Office of the Body Corporate Commissioner a call.
Right.
That would be the best idea. Do you have their number?
I think I have their number written down somewhere, John, yes.
I would give them a call in relation to it and, you know, if the matters... I mean, that matter should be dealt with at a committee meeting, so it's not like you've got to wait for an annual general meeting. You know, they should have got quotes to get it fixed. They should be keeping you advised and there should be a process in place to get it dealt with as soon as possible.
Okay, John.
All right, then.
Okay. Yep, thank you very much.
Okay, Peter, all the very best.
Yeah, thanks.
And we'll say a very quick hello to Graham. G'day, Graham. How are you?
Yeah, very well, John. Thank you.
That's good. How can we help?
Estate planning question, John.
Sure.
In my will, I have one of my family members I would prefer to give them nothing,
mm-hmm.
but I thought if I give them some amount, let's say $50,000, mm-hmm. on the condition they don't contest the will, mm-hmm. would that be a legal situation or not?
No, not. That's an urban myth. So many people think that if you make a provision like that in your will, that it means that your will can't be contested, but that's totally incorrect.
Okay.
The person could still certainly contest your will. So if you're in a situation where you're wanting to make a will and to minimise the likelihood of your will being contested, you definitely need to consult a lawyer who practices in the area of estate planning and go through all the facts and circumstances so that they can set up for you a process that is going to as best as possible ensure that what you wish to achieve can be achieved, and they will certainly tell you if it can't be.
Fantastic.
Okay,
thanks,
then.
John.
Okay,
thanks
then,
help.
Graham. All the
all
very
right.
best.
Right.
And we say a very good morning to Darcy. G'day, Darcy. How are you?
Hello, John, is it?
Yes, Darcy. How are you going?
John, good, mate. I've got a house in the country mm-hmm. that someone's living in and mm-hmm. Was a daughter. She moved out. And someone's gone and moved in there and mm-hmm. have told the neighbours they're not going to move out.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be. I don't know who they are. But how do I get them out?
So they're a trespasser, are they?
Yes.
So do you know who they are?
I know his name.
Right. And how did he get to be in there?
He got in there because of the daughter. When she left, she just rang this fella up and said, oh, if you want someone to live, come and live here.
Right, okay. Well, he's certainly at worst a trespasser, at best a tenant at will. So you would probably be best to get onto the Residential Tenancy Authority. Have you got a pen handy?
Yes, I do.
1-300
366
311. And if you just go through all the circumstances with them, I suspect they'll tell you he's probably a tenant at will, but that means that the notice you have to give is minimal. You can serve that notice, get an order, and then if he refuses to leave, get a warrant for him to move out. This is all under the QCAT, and the police will assist if there's going to be a breach of the peace in him refusing to move out.
So what's that body called, John?
QCAT, Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal.
Okay, right. He tells someone that he's got a letter from the daughter saying he can stay there, but that would.
Well, that's you're the owner. She's not.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, John.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Okay,
thank
Darcy.
You.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Well, thank you to all the people who have called in this morning and made for such an interesting program. Certainly many and varied calls. We were actually thinking the program might be a little quiet today with the Comm Games starting to get underway, but nice to see that everyone's still at home listening and are not away on holidays, most importantly. John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, I'll look forward to being back with you again next week. But until then, goodbye, and as always, God bless.